from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, listener. How are you today? Right now, you got to buckle up because more information about Indonesia is coming up next with me, Stephanie Wow. Make sure to stay tuned on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 750 kHz, or you can also listen on our online streaming on voanews.id or the app RRI Digital. And now, we would like to begin the program with the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminds General Elections Commission not to repeat previous election mistakes. Indonesian Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency had calls for preparation on the potential megathrust earthquake. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo attended the National Consolidation Meeting on Readiness for the 2024 Regional Head Elections, which took place on Tuesday morning. In the meeting, President Joko Widodo gave strict directions to the General Elections Commission. The president reminded the commission not to repeat the mistakes in 2024 presidential elections, especially related to the accuracy of voters' data and logistics distribution. The president also affirmed the importance of transparency and supervision in the voting process, both in terms of technology and from the aspect of supervision by independent parties.
Saya hanya ingin menekankan masalah-masalah di masa lalu, jangan sampai terulang lagi yang berkaitan dengan pendaftaran.
I just want to emphasize that the problems of the past should not be repeated relating to voter registration, inaccurate voter data, or being double registered. Then there are also problems with logistic distribution, storage, logistic shortage. Be really careful about this problem. Then there are issues regarding the implementation of voting related to damage to equipment and ballot papers, security disturbances, meaning that we must really pay attention to security and health together. Socialization is also very important.
Surat suara, gangguan keamanan, artinya keamanan dan kesehatan harus betul-betul kita perhatikan bersama-sama. Sosialisasi sangat penting.
Moreover, President Joko Widodo also pointed out that the task of the commission in the regional head elections is indeed heavy, requiring hard work and good cooperation among the commission, election supervisory board, honorary board of election organizers, and the community. The president also said although the commission has sufficient experience, he considered that the commission must remain vigilant and continue to improve preparations for the regional head elections. The commission, as the guardian of democracy, must carry out this task with responsibility, dedication, honor, and integrity. The Indonesian Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency has stated Indonesia has the potential to be hit by a large-scale earthquake or megathrust. Megathrust earthquakes is predicted to occur in the Sunda Strait and Mentawai Siberut megathrust zones. In a press briefing in Jakarta on Monday, the agency's head Dwi Korita Karnawati conveyed information about the potential for a megathrust in Indonesia is not new information, but it has been informed since 2018. According to her, the information re-dissemination on the potential megathrust earthquakes in Indonesia is not to scare people, but to make them ready for the potential earthquake and prepare disaster mitigation immediately.
Namun tujuannya apa sih di balik itu?
But what is the purpose behind it? The aim is not to scare us, but to make us ready so that local government in areas prone to tsunamis earthquakes are more active in preparing routes. What are the mitigation preparations, including education to the public before an earthquake occurs, that what must be prepared? The house is resistant earthquake. We have mapped out where the red zones are, so the building code or spatial layout must be in place. The goal is not to let the cold make you panic or feel confused, but not to prepare the spatial layout.
Panik galau enggak, tapi siapkan tata ruang.
Meanwhile, Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, on the same occasion, urged the public not to panic and worry about the potential mega thrust earthquake in Indonesia. The minister invited the public to continue traveling as usual, but always be vigilant by taking into account the latest information about the weather of tourist destinations. Still from the Indonesian Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency that collaborates with the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy in building the Impact Based Forecast or IBF information system. The agency's head Dwi Korita Karnawati in a press briefing in Jakarta on Monday pointed out the Impact Based Forecast is a weather forecast that not only provides early warning of potentially dangerous weather conditions, but also informs weather impacts that can improve travel experience. According to Dwi Korita, IBF is very important for tourists to make more precise travel planning.
Namun juga potensi dampaknya bagaimana? Apakah akan terjadi kilat petir? Apakah akan terjadi puting beliung?
But also the potential impact, whether there will be lightning, whether there will be a tornado, whether there will be a landslide, whether there will be a flood, then what should be done? How to deal with this? This is very important for tourists because planning to visit Labuan Bajo, for example, we are going to sail. Oh, it turns out that there is a potential for heavy rain, but at 2 p.m., that means, come on, let's hurry and leave in the morning until 1 p.m., we must be back to location. So that doesn't mean it's scary, but it actually makes planning more precise.
Sampai ya jam 1 harus sudah kembali ke lokasi. Jadi bukan berarti menakut-nakuti, bukan. Tetapi justru membuat perencanaan lebih.
Moreover, Dwi Korita has further explained that IBF uses global model-based mathematical calculations that have been verified with observation points in Indonesia, so that the recommendations are quite accurate. Dwi Korita revealed that IBF will later be available on the App Store or Play Store. According to Dwi Korita, this application is planned to be launched around November and December 2024 with the first pilot project in the Labuan Bajo tourist area. The last national news comes from the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy that recorded tourism investment realization in the first semester of 23.71 trillion rupiah, or about $1.5 billion. In the first semester of 2024, foreign investment was recorded at about 9 trillion rupiah, while domestic investment amounted to about 14 trillion rupiah. The Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, in a press briefing in Jakarta on Monday, revealed hotels, restaurants, cafes, and other tourism support factors dominate Indonesian tourism investment. In addition to investments related to tourism support factors, according to Minister Sandiaga Uno, investment in the form of preparing tour packages related to meetings, incentives, conferences, and exhibition will enter in the second semester of 2024.
Banyak yang menyasar ke
many are targeting investment related to support hotels, restaurant, that's normal, but if I'm not mistaken, the third thing that comes in is the preparation of tour packages related to MICE meetings, incentive conferences and exhibitions, and that's also an attraction.
Jadi itu juga menjadi daya tarik.
Meanwhile, on the same occasion, Deputy for Industry and Investment at the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Rizky Handayani, explained Indonesia's largest investor countries in the field of tourism are Singapore, Japan, India, and Australia. Rizky further conveyed that increasing Indonesia's tourism investment requires collaboration with various stakeholders. According to Rizky, in October and November 2024, the ministry will conduct technical coordination meeting to map investment projects in all regions of Indonesia. Now we move to the international news. Saudi Foreign Minister Prince Faisal bin Farhan received his Egyptian counterpart Badr Abdel Ati in Riyadh on Monday. As reported by ArabNews.com, during the meeting, the two ministers discussed regional and international developments, especially developments in the Gaza Strip and efforts made in this regard. They also reviewed the strong relations between Saudi Arabia and Egypt and ways to enhance them in various fields. Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is on his ninth urgent mission to the Middle East since the conflict began. Blinken is due in Egypt after his visit to Israel. Ukraine's military incursion into Kursk aims to create a buffer zone to prevent cross-border attacks by Moscow's forces, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky confirmed on Sunday, as his troops blew up a second bridge in the Russian border region. As reported by CNN.com, Ukrainian forces are inching toward in Kursk amid fighting following the launch of their surprise military operation there nearly 2 weeks ago. We end the news with Vietnam, which is in a special position to lead artificial intelligence or AI innovation in Southeast Asia, said Nguyen Duc Thuan, country director of Google Cloud at the Gene AI Summit 2024, which opened in Ho Chi Minh City on Sunday. As reported by VOVworld.vn, on Monday, AI experts said Vietnam holds significant advantages in AI development thanks to its favorable market conditions, abundant human resources, and a dynamic startup ecosystem. Le Viet Quoc, a senior expert at Google, stated the Vietnamese government has implemented various policies to encourage startups and technology investments. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, today's commentary is Cabinet reshuffle ahead of President Joko Widodo's end of office. Towards the end of his term, Indonesian President Joko Widodo, better known as Jokowi, reshuffled his cabinet on August 19, 2024. In this reshuffle, he appointed three new ministers and one deputy minister. Bahlil Lahadalia was appointed as Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, replacing Arifin Tasrif. Rosan Ruslani becomes Minister of Investment or head of the Indonesian Investment Coordinating Board, and Supratman Andi Adgas becomes Minister of Law and Human Rights, replacing Yasona Lauli. In addition, Angga Raka Prabowo was appointed as Deputy Minister of Communication and Informatics. Jokowi, during his two terms as Indonesian President, has reshuffled his cabinet several times. A cabinet reshuffle is usually done by the head of government for a variety of reasons related to political, economic, and government performance needs. Reasons range from improving government managerial steps, strengthening synergy and coordination across ministries, to demands for each ministry to work faster and more effectively. Reshuffles also often occur as part of political maneuvering to strengthen the support from the coalition of political parties backing the government. This can involve giving ministerial positions to certain parties in a bid to ensure political stability or support in the parliament. Various reactions have certainly emerged from various circles after the cabinet reshuffle decision, especially the decision to reshuffle Jokowi's cabinet, which is only 2 months left. Some support the decision, while others are against it. Such reactions are normal in a democratic country like Indonesia. Whatever the reasons and reaction of various groups to the cabinet reshuffle at the end of Jokowi's rule, it is certainly intended to improve performance and refresh the government in a better direction. President Joko Widodo certainly doesn't carelessly choose his ministers who will help him run the government. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Ahmad Faisal. Listener, we begin today in history with an event from August 20, 1991, when Estonia gained independence from the Soviet Union. Estonia is a sovereign country in the Baltic region of Northern Europe. As the Soviet Union collapsed, Estonia officially gained full independence from the Soviet Union on 20 August 1991. Estonia is a republic with a parliamentary democracy and is divided into 15 countries. The largest city and the capital of Estonia is Tallinn. The first country to diplomatically recognize Estonia's independence was Iceland on August 22. The Soviet Union recognized Estonia's independence on September 6, 1991. We move on to an event from August 20, 2003, when the construction of the Suramadu Bridge was inaugurated. The Suramadu Bridge, or Suramadu is short for Surabaya Madura, is a bridge that spans the Madura Strait, connecting the island of Java in Surabaya with the island of Madura in Bangkalan. At 5,438 meters long, the Suramadu Bridge is the sixth longest bridge in Indonesia. The groundbreaking ceremony for the bridge was conducted by President Megawati Soekarnoputri on August 20, 2003, and it was constructed and officially opened by President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono on June 11, 2009. The construction of this bridge was aimed at accelerating development on Madura Island. We end today in history with the commemoration of World Mosquito Day. World Mosquito Day is commemorated every year on August 20th. The day commemorates the discovery by Sir Ronald Ross, a British Army surgeon, who proved that female Anopheles mosquitoes can transmit malaria to humans. World Mosquito Day was declared by Ronald Ross to raise public awareness about malaria dangers. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
My Indonesia Today is on Indonesian President and Foreign Minister received special honors from Palestinian President. The special envoy of the President of Palestine, Riyad al-Maliki, presented the Grand Collar Order of the State of Palestine to Indonesian President Joko Widodo at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Monday, August the 19th. In a press statement on Monday, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi explained that the Medal of Honor was awarded to President Joko Widodo following their meeting recently. According to Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, during the presentation, Riyad al-Maliki emphasized that this award was given as a tribute to President Joko Widodo's efforts in strengthening relations between Indonesia and Palestine and in supporting the Palestinian people's struggle for freedom and independence. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi further explained that in addition to presenting the award, the special envoy conveyed congratulations from Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas to President Joko Widodo and the entire Indonesian people on the 79th Independence Day of the Republic of Indonesia. President Mahmoud Abbas expressed his appreciation for Indonesia's significant role in supporting the Palestinian people, including Indonesia's advocacy for ceasefire, humanitarian aid, and the two-state solution. On the occasion, President Joko Widodo reiterated Indonesia's consistent position to always support the Palestinian cause. Indonesia will also continue to advocate for ceasefire, unimpeded humanitarian assistance, and, of course, the two-state solution. In his meeting with the special envoy of President Abbas, President Joko Widodo also reaffirmed Indonesia's commitment to advocating for international recognition and full membership for Palestine in the United Nations. For that matter, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi added that Indonesia will also continue to approach UN member states. The award underlines the close diplomatic ties between Indonesia and Palestine, as well as Indonesia's commitment to supporting Palestinian rights on the international stage. In addition to President Joko Widodo, President Mahmoud Abbas also awarded a Medal of Honor to Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi. Riyad al-Maliki presented the Star of Merit of the Order of the State of Palestine from the President of Palestine at the Pancasila Building of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Monday. This award is a token of appreciation for Indonesia's consistent role in leading the fight for Palestinian independence. Retno Marsudi said that Indonesia has always been consistent in fighting for justice and humanity for Palestine. She added, "Indonesia will never stop until Palestine is independent and stands as a sovereign state." That was my Indonesia Today.
Thank you. Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, the 2024 annual plenary session of the People's Consultative Assembly as part of commemorating the 79th anniversary of Indonesia's independence was successfully held on August 16. One unique thing worth talking about from the annual assembly plenary session was the traditional clothes of Indonesian President Joko Widodo, who wore during the session. President Jokowi wearing traditional clothes from various regions in Indonesia while attending the yearly People's Consultative Assembly session has become a familiar sight. During the annual plenary session a few days ago, President Joko Widodo wore Betawi or native Jakarta traditional clothes, namely baju demang and ujung sarong. At the assembly plenary session held recently, the president appeared in a long black coat representing integrity and modesty. The knee-length ujung sarong garment worn with the coat not only showcased decorative elements, but also symbolized flexibility and wisdom. President Joko Widodo combined the coat with trousers and peci or hat worn by Muslim men in the same color. This combination complements and highlights Betawi male identity and value. The traditional clothes come with accessories including badik, which was worn on the waist, kuku macan, arloji saku, as well as a pair of shoes. Listener, in Betawi tradition, jas tutup ujung sarong is often worn by indigenous elders, public figures, and mature men on formal occasions such as weddings, traditional ceremonies, or other official events. The pattern on the ujung sarong garment worn by President Jokowi on this occasion was called gigi balang, a triangle-shaped pattern signifying the good relationship with God, humans, and the universe. Well, listener, that's today's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak an Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Today's topic is
Di bau-bau,
which means in bau-bau. You will listen to a conversation about
Why,
which means
Mengapa.
Chris, a vlogger from Australia, was talking to a tenun, or woven cloth crest woman, in bau-bau. Chris asked why many women in bau-bau are very skilled in making tenun or woven cloth. Let's listen to their conversations.
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Menenun menjadi tradisi bagi perempuan Buton. Kami percaya menenun akan membawa kebaikan bagi keluarga.
Well, after listening to the conversations, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic, why, which means
Mengapa.
We will say it 2 times slowly, and please repeat it after us.
Saya.
Which means I.
Mengapa.
Which means why.
Banyak.
Which means many.
Perempuan.
Which means women.
Pandai.
Which means to be skilled or good at.
Menenun.
Which means weaving or making woven clothes.
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun? Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Which means, why are many women here skilled in weaving?
Tradisi.
Which means tradition.
Percaya.
Which means believe.
Membawa.
Which means bring.
Kebaikan.
Which means goodness.
Bagi.
Which means for.
Keluarga.
Which means family. In this conversation, you hear the expression
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun? Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Which means, why are many women here skilled in weaving? In the expression, there is the word
Mengapa,
which means why, is used to ask for the reason or explanations about something. The phrase
Bagaimana ceritanya?
Is actually asking about the story behind something. In Let's listen to another example of using
mengapa, mengapa,
which means why.
Mengapa masyarakat Buton gemar makan ikan? Mengapa masyarakat Buton gemar makan ikan?
Which means why do the people of Buton like to eat fish?
Mengapa harga kain tenun kamuhu mahal? Mengapa harga kain tenun kamuhu mahal?
Which means why is kamuhu tenun cloth expensive? Kamuhu is a woven cloth from Buton Island, Southeast Sulawesi. Kamuhu is an intangible cultural heritage from Indonesia. On the other hand, there are many variations of woven cloth across Indonesia, such as terfo from Papua, pandai sikek from West Sumatra, ulos from North Sumatra, and endek from Bali. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Menenun menjadi tradisi bagi perempuan Buton. Kami percaya menenun akan membawa kebaikan bagi keluarga.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about
mengapa? Mengapa?
Which means why. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. I'm Daniel and my colleague
Ranov.
Bye-bye.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's music corner presents a Malay song entitled Joget Bengkalis or Bengkalis Dance by the talented Usman Bengkalis. The song is not only a showcase of Usman Bengkalis' musical talent, but also a heartfelt ode to the city of Bengkalis in Riau, Indonesia. The lyrics paint a picture of Bengkalis as a peaceful, prosperous, and harmonious place. More than just a tribute, the song encourages everyone to unite and work together towards a brighter future for Bengkalis. Well, listener, here is the Malay song, Joget Bengkalis by Usman Bengkalis. Happy listening!
Sama melangkah pasti, azam tertanam di dalam hati. Melihat Bengkalis cemerlang, serata negeri semakin terbilang. Tuan puan handai dan taulan, capai impian bergandeng tangan. Tua dan muda bahu membahu untuk Bengkalis yang lebih maju. Hai Bengkalis negeri kita, negeri makmur aman sentosa. Negeri Bengkalis negeri junjungan, samakan langkah maju ke depan. Satukan kata bulatkan tekad, agar Bengkalis menjadi hebat. Paham bersama junjung mufakat, selamat negeri dunia akhirat. Sama melangkah pasti, azam tertanam di dalam hati. Melihat Bengkalis cemerlang, serata negeri semakin terbilang. Tuan puan handai dan taulan, capai impian bergandeng tangan. Tua dan muda bahu membahu untuk Bengkalis yang lebih maju. Hai Bengkalis negeri kita, negeri makmur aman sentosa. Negeri Bengkalis negeri junjungan, samakan langkah maju ke depan. Satukan kata ulatkan tekad, agar Bengkalis menjadi hebat. Paham bersama junjung mufakat, selamat negeri dunia akhirat. Hai Bengkalis negeri kita, negeri makmur aman sentosa. Negeri Bengkalis negeri junjungan, samakan langkah maju ke depan. Satukan kata bulatkan tekad, agar Bengkalis menjadi hebat. Paham bersama junjung mufakat, selamat negeri dunia akhirat.
Voice of Indonesia.